Brothers, let's again try and fill in the gaps. There are many brothers who are sitting in the courtyard, and the courtyard doesn't have a blower system, nor does it have fans, nor does it have aircons. So it's not very comfortable for those who are sitting in the courtyard, although they can hear us. So as many of them who can come into the masjid, the better. Let us, I know each one of us would like some space and some comfort, but let's make a little bit of sacrifice for the benefit of our brothers at the back, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will reward us. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. Honorable علماء, respected brothers, mothers and sisters, we once again welcome you to the 6th annual Sira Jalsa on behalf of the Nurul Islam Center Committee, the A'imma of the Masjid, the Musallis, the community of Linasia. It is really heartwarming to see over the years how the number of participants have grown with the grace of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and how people from across the province and even surrounding provinces have come here to benefit from these talks and discourses. And we are humbled that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has chosen our venue, our masjid, our community of Linasia to render this service to the ummah of the broader Gauteng region and even beyond that in the surrounding regions. Earlier on in the last session, we spoke about some of the benefits of studying the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I want to mention two more points in that regard. The one point is, it is so amazing when it comes to the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that no matter which angle you look at the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from, you will find benefit. You will find guidance. If you look at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's ibadah and worship, therein you will find guidance. If you look at his manners and his morals and his character, you will find inspiration. If you look at how he was a mercy, like Maulana Musa Akudisab had outlined for us, it will touch you. It will leave you moved. His tenderness, his leadership will motivate you. So whichever angle you look at his life story from, his legacy from, you will find something that is of benefit. You will find many things that are of benefit. Usually any other person, even a person who is classified as a great person, it's because of one quality or one aspect. If it's two, then it's unique. But here Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, every quality and every aspect offers us guidance, offers us inspiration, offers us motivation. So that's the first point. The second point, when it comes to the studying seerah, is that it raises the levels of our iman and it creates optimism in difficult times. When we study the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our problems look small in front of the problems that he had to encounter. In front of the challenges that he had, our challenges pale in insignificance. So when you study seerah, it gives you a lot of hope that if my Nabi had to tolerate worse and undergo worse, and Allah made it possible for him, then what are my problems and what are my difficulties? Now, taking those two points and bringing it specifically to the theme, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a husband, as a family man, the marital life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to those who are yet to get married, to those who are yet to get married, we say to you, study the marital life of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam to adequately prepare yourself for marriage. To those who are married but are unhappy, we say to you, don't break up, just wake up. Don't break up, just wake up. Take your inspiration, your guidance, and your solace from the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So for those who are yet to get married, we say, study the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his marital life, and prepare yourself adequately. For those who are married but are unhappy, don't just break up. Wake up. Get your wake up via the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And for those who are married and are happy, if you are married and you're happy, please raise your hands. No, I'm just joking. If you are married and you're happy, then too, the seerah has a lot to offer. What does the seerah tell us? Do not be satisfied with mediocrity in your marriage. You're never satisfied with mediocrity in your business. You have 10 shops, you want the 11th. Why is it in marriage? You say, no, I'm happy and my wife is happy, we love each other. Realize that your marriage and your relationships are your greatest source of happiness. Don't become complacent. Don't take your spouse for granted. Maulana Ibrahim Bamsab alluded to the aspect of emotional neglect. Emotional neglect is a cancer which is eating away at our marriages and families. I've mentioned this before. We live under the same roof, but we live like we live in hotels. We're sharing the same roof, the same food, but emotionally we are totally detached. Husband and wife both sitting on the same bed, in the same room, in the same house, literally centimeters from each other, but each of the two are busy on their own WhatsApp chat, laughing and giggling at the phone, not with each other. We are so occupied in our pursuit of business and our careers. We are investing so much for our families that we are forgetting to invest in our families. You leave for your children, and that's good. But how long that which you left will last, only Allah knows. But those memories of you spending time with your children will last forever. They did a survey, the greatest regret of men in their 50s. I spent too much time doing work and too little time with my family. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had that balance in his life. Invest more in your family than you do for your family. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to convey his love and affection to his spouses on a daily basis. You and I, we feel, why must I tell her that I love her? She knows. The human psyche and the human nature is such, she needs to repeatedly hear it from you. That's why they say, before you want to develop your own love story, look at the love story of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Aisha radiallahu anha. Before you want to become Romeo and Juliet, who are they? Look at the love story of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Aisha radiallahu anha, where he breathed his last whilst resting in her lap. What greater love story can there be? That romance which our previous speakers have alluded to. You know, it's the irony of life and the tragedy of life. Those people that we love the most, we end up treating them the worst. We bring all our outside pressures and stress into the home, and we take our spouses and we take our children for granted. When the husband comes home, the wife only wants to unburden all her burdens on him, not understanding that he's also looking for some comfort, some solace, some emotional support. So let's invest in our relationships, because that's where the greatest source of our happiness lies. To commence the second session, we will call upon an esteemed personality, Hazrat Qari Ayyub Sahib, Hafidhahullah. Qari Sahib will begin this particular session with a recitation of the Quran Kareem.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا تبتغي مرضات أزواجك والله غفور رحيم. يا أيها النبي لم تحرم ما أحل الله لك تبتغي مرضاة أزواجك والله غفور رحيم. قد فرض الله لكم تحلة أيمانكم والله مولاكم وهو العليم الحكيم. وإذ أسر النبي إلى بعض أزواجه حديثا وإذ أسر النبي حديثا فلما نبأت به وأظهره الله عليه عرف بعضه عرف بعضه وأعرض عن بعض فلما نبأها به قالت من أنبأك قال نبأني العليم الخبير. وإن تظاهرا عليه فإن الله هو مولاه وجبريل فإن الله هو مولاه والملائكة بعد ذلك ظهير
وقودها الناس
والحجارة وقودها الناس والحجارة عليها ملائكة غلاظ شداد غلاظ شداد لا يعصون الله ما أمره لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون يا أيها الذين آمنوا أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا وقودها الناس والحجارة عليها ملائكة غلاظ شداد غلاظ شداد لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون يا أيها الذين كفروا لا تعتذروا يا أيها الذين كفروا لا تعتذروا اليوم إنما تجزون ما كنتم صدق الله العظيم.
ما شاء الله ما شاء الله ما شاء الله. We say جزاكم الله تقاري صاحب. May Allah تبارك وتعالى prolong his life so he can continue to motivate us with such recitations and renditions from the Quran Kareem. Hazrat Maulana Musa Akoti Sahab, please bless us with your presence on the stage. Also, one request to all our mothers and sisters. We are receiving a number of complaints and some of the mothers and sisters are having their own jalsa in the hall. They are talking whilst the program is taking place and they are meeting and greeting. Please respect the others who are in attendance. They have come with the intention of listening and benefiting. Shukran. Many times, reference is made by the ulama to one sentence of the Quran Kareem when it comes to marriage. And that is the sentence where Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, هُنَّ لِبَاسٌ لَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لِبَاسٌ لَهُنْ. That you are a garment unto your wives, and your wives are a garment unto you. And the scholars of tafsir have asked the question, why does Allah use the analogy, the example, the simile of a garment? What does a garment have to do with marriage? And one answer that has been given is that a garment has four benefits, if we want to call it that, four uses. And it has a very amazing relation to marriage. The first thing, your garment protects you and assists you against the elements of nature, against the weather. When it's hot, the type of garments that you wear help you to cool down. When it's cool, the type of garments that you wear helps you to keep warm. Similarly, husband and wife ought to be helping, protecting and assisting each other when it comes to the challenges of life. So that's the first. The second, the garment conceals whatever blemish there may be on the body. So if you have a birthmark, or if you have a few stretch marks, the garment conceals that. Husband and wife ought to be concealing the weaknesses of each other, not amplifying the weaknesses of each other. The third thing, a garment enhances the natural beauty which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has given you. So if a person wears nice clothes, good clothes, it enhances that natural handsomeness or that natural prettiness. So beauty ought to enhance the positives that are already there within the husband and wife. And the last thing, clothing is indispensable. You can't do without clothing. You can't do without each other. Even Adam alayhi salatu wasalam had that void in Jannah of all places without our mother Hawa radiallahu anha. Like we said earlier, brothers, somebody so beautifully said, marriage is like a garden. You have to work at it all the time. You can't say, I did gardening for 6 months, now I'll take a rest for 6 months. So if there's one resolution that we can take tonight, based on what we are going to hear and what we have already heard, is that we will leave here with the firm intention that we will make a constant effort to improve ourselves as spouses so that we can improve our marriages. When it comes to improving marriage, we always expect the opposite party to start and the opposite party to do what we want them to do. No, let's start with ourselves. Let's leave with this one resolution tonight that I will continuously and constantly strive to improve myself as a husband or to improve myself as a wife so that I can lend and I can contribute towards the enhancement of my own marriage. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala grant us the ability. Okay, we now will be calling upon Maulana Qari Muhammad Umar Basheikh from Kenya. He is a graduate of Darulum Zakaria and he currently resides in South Africa. He will inshallah be rendering an art.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Inshallah, we will start with the nazam and ina'd of the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, all brothers are requested to join me in the chorus. Hasbi Rabbi Jalla Allah, ma fi qalbi ghayrullah. حسبي ربي جل الله ما في قلبي غير الله نور محمد صلى الله لا إله إلا الله حسبي ربي جل الله ما في قلبي غير الله نور محمد صلى الله عليه لا إله إلا الله تيري صدقي میں آقا سار جہاں کو دین ملا بے دینوں نے کلمہ پڑھا لا إله إلا الله تیرے صدقے میں آقا سار جہاں کو دین ملا بے دینوں نے کلمہ پڑھا لا إله إلا الله حسبي ربي جل الله ما في قلبي غير الله نور محمد صلى الله لا إله إلا الله سمت نبي بو جهل گیا آقا سے اس نے یہ کہا سمت نبی بو جہل گیا آقا سے اس نے یہ کہا گر ہو نبی بتلاؤ ذرا میری موٹھی میں ہے
کیا سمت نبی بو جہل گیا آقا سے اس نے یہ کہا گر ہو نبی بس لاؤ ذرا میری مٹھی میں ہے کیا آقا کا فرمان ہوا اور فضل رحمان ہوا پتھر بولا لا الہ الا اللہ آقا کا فرمان ہوا اور فضل رحمان ہوا مٹھی سے پتھر بولا لا الہ الا اللہ حسبی ربی جل اللہ ما فی قلبی غیر اللہ نور محمد صلی اللہ لا الہ الا اللہ وہ جو بلال حبشی ہے سروردی کا پیارا ہے دنیا کے ہر عاشق کی آنکھوں کا وہ تارا ہے پر سینے پر رکھا پتھر لب پر پھر بھی جاری تا کیا لا الہ الا اللہ ظلم ہوئے کتنے اس پر سینے پر رکھا پتھر لب پر پھر بھی جاری تا لا الہ الا اللہ حسبی ربی جل اللہ ما فی قلبی غیر اللہ نور محمد صلی اللہ لا الہ الا اللہ اپنی بہن سے بول عمر یہ تو بتا کیا کرتی تھی میرے آنے سے پہلے کیا چھپ کے پڑھتی تھی اپنے بہن سے بول عمر یہ تو بتا کیا کرتی تھی میرے آنے سے پہلے کیا چھپ کے پڑھتی تھی بہنن جب قرآن پڑھا سن کے کلام پاک خدا دنیا عمر کا بول اٹھا لا الہ الا اللہ حسبی ربی جل اللہ ما فی قلبی غیر اللہ نور محمد صلی اللہ لا الہ الا اللہ وہ جس کے لیے محفل کونین سجی ہے وہ جس کے لیے محفل کونین سجی ہے پھر دو سے بڑی جس کے وسیلے سے بنی ہے وہ ہاشم مکی احمد ہے محمد ہے وہی ختم رسول ہے مخدوم مربی ہے وہی والی کل ہے اس پر ہی نظر اس پر ہی نظر سارے زمانے کی لگی ہے, وہ میرا نبی میرا نبی میرا نبی ہے, وہ میرا نبی میرا نبی میرا نبی ہے, والشمس ضحا چہرہ انور کی جھلک ہے, واللیل کی سجا گیسو حضرت کی لچک ہے, عالم کو دیا نبی ہے, وہ میرا نبی میرا نبی میرا نبی ہے, وہ میرا نبی ہے. مزمل و یاسین و مدثر و طہٰ, کیا کیا نئے القاب سے مولا نے پکارا, کیا شان ہے اس کی میرا نبی ہے, وہ میرا نبی میرا نبی میرا نبی ہے, وہ میرا نبی ہے. اللہ کا فرمان لم نشرح لک صدرک, منسوب ہے جس سے ورفعنا لک ذکرک. اللہ کا فرمان لم نشرح لک صدرک, منسوب ہے جس سے ورفعنا لک ذکرک. جس ذات کا قرآن میرا نبی ہے, وہ ان کا نبی ان کا نبی سب کا نبی ہے, وہ میرا نبی ہے.
ماشاءاللہ ماشاءاللہ ماشاءاللہ. اسے جزاکم اللہ جو ستن اسٹیج. یو کین بلیس اس ارشاد بھائی. You got the josh. The vuma, as they say. All right. Brothers who are in the courtyard, if you're feeling a little bit uncomfortable due to the heat, there's a lot of place upstairs and there are fans, and it'll be a bit more comfortable upstairs. There's sound upstairs as well. So if you're comfortable at the back, alhamdulillah. If not, there's ample space upstairs. Brothers, we now come to the last item on the agenda, as they say. And normally, you know, when you have meetings, the formal meetings, the last item on the agenda is general. And general take the longest. That's why they were saying recently that now they must remove general from the agenda. Because whoever's got whatever in their heart, they bring it up under general. But anyway, this is in many ways the main point of the program. Hazrat Maulana Sulaiman Mullah Sahab, Damat Barakatuhum, absolutely needs no introduction. Maulana will be rendering advices, inshallah, for the next hour or so. Thereafter, as soon as Maulana concludes the talk and the short dua, the adhan will go, and 10 minutes after the adhan, inshallah, the Jamaat for Salatul Isha will stand up. And after Isha, brothers and sisters, the meals for the sisters will be in the tent, and the meals will be served for the brothers in the two halls, the big hall and the small hall, inshallah. We now call upon Hazrat Maulana Sulaiman Mullah Sahab.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين, الحمد لله رب العالمين, وأصلي وأسلم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن اهتدى بهديه واقتدى بسنته إلى يوم الدين وبعد. فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: وإن امرأة خافت من بعلها نشوزا أو إعراضا فلا جناح عليهما أن يصلحا بينهما صلحا والصلح خير وأحضرت الأنفس الشح وإن تحسنوا وتتقوا فإن الله كان بما تعملون خبيرا. صدق الله العظيم. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters, we have once again congregated and assembled to reflect over the impeccable legacy of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and draw lessons from his rich life. Honestly speaking, our sheer assembly today at this juncture on this momentous occasion itself elevates our profile in the court of Allah. The hadith is in Mishkat Sharif, the first volume, page 75, on the strength of Abu Umama radiallahu anhu. A person came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he asked, which is the noblest piece of land? The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I am not aware, I will ask Jibreel. When Jibreel alayhi salam came, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam posed the question to him. Jibreel alayhi salam said, Mal mas'oolu anha bi'a'lama min as-sa'ili. O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I do not have the answer, but I will pose it to Allah and I will return. Jibreel alayhi salam leaves and subsequently returns with the answer. But before he communicates the answer to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says to the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Inni danautu min Allahi dunuwan ma danautu minhu qattu. O Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I must mention to you, I took your question and I presented in the court of Allah. I was blessed with such closeness and proximity and hospitality that I never enjoyed this in my entire life. In the footnotes of this hadith, under Hashiya number 6, it's mentioned, وَلَعَلَّ زِيَادَةَ تَقَرُّبِهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي هَذِهِ الْمَرَّةِ لِتَعْظِيمِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَقَدْ يَزِيدُ الْمُحِبُّ فِي إِحْتِرَامِ رَسُولِ الْحَبِيبِ لِأَجْلِ الْحَبِيبِ. The reason that Jibreel alayhi salam was given this additional hospitality, because in this particular position, Jibreel did not only come in the capacity of an angel, but he came as the messenger of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which elevated his profile. وَقَدْ يَزِيدُ الْمُحِبُّ فِي إِحْتِرَامِ رَسُولِ الْحَبِيبِ لِأَجْلِ الْحَبِيبِ. And how often the messenger is made important simply because he has been sent by the beloved. Our topic at hand is the marriage life of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a husband and as a father. Someone said it very aptly and succinctly, what is marriage? It is work in progress with a lifetime contract. You have a company, they build in roads, 2-year contract. They put in up a complex, 3-year contract. They put in up a mall, 5 years. Work in progress with a lifetime contract. While another said, love often intoxicates, marriage always sobers. Love often intoxicates, marriage always sobers. And probably the best that has been said, in my humble opinion, and that would set the tone to explain the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the formula to a happy marriage is not to wed the perfect partner, but rather to love the imperfect partner perfectly well. The formula to a happy marriage is not to wed the perfect partner, but rather to love the imperfect partner perfectly well. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was impeccable. Allah has blessed him with a sublime character. His honorable spouses and noble consorts were mortals, and so was the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a mortal, but Allah had blessed him with ismat and protected him. While his wives were the noblest of all women, but surely they had the common challenges and emotions that any woman had to contend with. Hence the uniqueness of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam's marriage was not that it was hiccup free, or there were no glitches, or there were no snags. As I will briefly endeavor due to the time constraints, my MC said he will speak for an hour or so.
The Nabi of Allah had to contend with the usual things that any marriage had to contend with. But what made it unique was the manner in which he responded and reacted. The hadith is in Bukhari Sharif. Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu anhu says, kunna ma'shara Quraishin, we the group of Quraysh, naghlibu nisa'ana. As long as we lived in Mecca, we had clout, we had muscle, we had authority. فلما قدمنا المدينة, when we came to Medina, إِذَا قَوْمٌ تَغْلِبُهُمْ نِسَاؤُهُمْ. Our Ansari brothers were amazing hosts. They were great, they were awesome. But when it came to domestic issues, they were on the receiving end. They were passive, they were gentle, their women governed, ruled and dominated them. فَطَفِقَ نِسَاؤُنَا يَأْخُذْنَ مِنْ أَدَبِ نِسَاءِ الْأَنْصَارِ. Our women started assimilating with the Ansari women. They started becoming louder in their tone. They started responding, retorting, back answering. So one day I got into a bit of an argument with my wife. فَرَاجَعَتْنِي. She responded harshly. فَأَنْكَرْتُ ذَلِكْ. I said, I don't like that. That's in bad taste. She said, وَلِمَ تُنْكِرُ ذَلِكْ. And Umar, why do you object? إِنَّ أَزْوَاجَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ لَيُرَاجِعْنَهُ. Even the wives of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم back answer him. I can just imagine the woman pausing here. I can just, yeah. Yes, you heard it right, my sister, but you're going to be hearing other things also. Behind every successful man is a woman. And behind every angry woman is a man who doesn't know what I did wrong now. Behind every successful man is a woman. And behind every angry woman is a man who doesn't know what I did wrong now. Now the poor man starts calculating from last night. Okay, maybe I came late now, but then she still smiled. Okay, this morning did I not leave cash? No, couldn't be that because after I got a pleasant SMS. Poor man, grappling. My friend is a pilot. He sends me this picture of a cockpit and a flying deck. All these buttons. He say complicated, but still easier to understand than a woman. Rifqan bil qawarir. Rifqan bil qawarir. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, be gentle with them. Mullah Ali Qari rahmatullah alayhi says, why? شُبِّهَ النِّسَاءُ بِالْقَرَارِيرِ فِي الرِّقَّةِ وَالضُّعْفِ وَسُرْعَةِ الْإِنْكِسَارِ. The Nabi of Allah likened women to glass in three things. Delicate, weak and fragile. Fragility. Very, very fragile. And the Nabi of Allah said it explicitly, categorically. So my wife told me, listen, Umar, don't take an issue with me. Even Nabi alayhi salam's wives retort and they respond. And even your own daughter does this. Jama'tu thiyabi. I gathered my clothes. I dashed off. I came home. I called. I summoned my daughter. Atughadibu ihdakunna Rasulallah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Listen, O Hafsa, this is what has come to my ears. That you at times anger the Nabi of Allah. And sometimes you have an argument. And for a good day, either you don't speak or the Nabi of Allah doesn't speak. Is there any truth to this? Yes, indeed, that's the absolute truth. Why lie? That is how it is. Listen, my daughter, get your act together. Don't displease the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And don't get any ideas from your co-wife Aisha radiallahu anha. Her profile is very unique. Her status is different. Her position is very unique. So keep yourself within your profile and don't offend the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in any way. I then came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and I bounced it off him. I said, O Nabi of Allah, I don't know if you'll agree, but نحن معشر قريش نغلب نساءنا. In Mecca, we had no issues. When we came to Medina, suddenly our women started drawing the skew from the Ansari women, and now they are becoming more loud and assertive with us. فتبسم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Nabi Sassim looked at Umar and he just smiled. Okay. Then I said, O Nabi of Allah, I told Hafsa, she mustn't get ideas from her co-wife, your other spouse, and she mustn't become loud with you. تبسم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم تبسمة أخرى. I promise you, sometimes everything can be resolved if you can just maintain a smile. Not sarcastic or cynical, earnest and honest, and you will dissolve it. In fact, this very same Umar, the giant, the mighty, the robust Umar, that even the enemy would switch lanes. Even the devil would switch lanes. His foe wouldn't come across him. Even Umar had to contend with curve balls in his marriage. Umar was also summoned. During his reign, he sends Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu to Banu Kilab. Collect the zakat and distribute it. Mu'adh radiallahu anhu obliges and complies. He goes off, collects the zakat and distributes it. The norm was whenever anybody came to collect zakat to distribute, as a token they would acknowledge this envoy and gift him something. Sayyidina Mu'adh radiallahu anhu returns home. His wife said, how was your trip? It was great. أَيْنَمَا جِئْتَ بِهِ مِمَّا يَأْتِي بِهِ الْوُلَاتُ مِنْ هَدِيَّةٍ لِأَهْلِيهِمْ. Everybody goes, they come home with something. Your pockets are empty, your bags are empty. Now of God, when you just caught on and you have to explain something, قَدْ كَانَ مَعِي رَقِيبٌ يَقِظٌ يُحْسِي عَلَيَّ. Well, there was a guardian watchful over me, monitoring my affairs. Meaning Allah is taking care and Allah's eye is over me. And I went for a purpose. I didn't want to dilute my endeavors. The woman misunderstood it. She misunderstood it. And if she's misunderstood it, it could be quite difficult to change her mind otherwise respectfully. So she says, that means Umar had imposed someone to monitor you because he didn't trust you fully. قَدْ كُنْتَ أَمِينًا فِي عَهْدِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ وَأَمِينًا فِي عَهْدِ عُمَرٍ وَأَمِينًا فِي عَهْدِ أَبِي بَكْرٍ ثُمَّ بَعَثَ عُمَرُ عَلَيْكَ رَقِيبًا يُحْسِي عَلَيْكَ. Allah's Nabi trusted you. Abu Bakr had no reservation. Suddenly Umar has apprehension. She dashes off and she goes to the wives of Umar. Now this is the flip side of polygamy. When things go wrong, it can have ripple effects in all the houses. أَشَاعَتْ ذَلِكَ فِي نِسْوَةِ عُمَرْ. You know, there was a brother, a good friend of mine in Australia, so we were going for a drive. He took me in this big van. He said, Shaykh, I was traveling with my wife. I told her, you know what? I want to fill this whole van up with kids. She said, you're dreaming. I said, no, it doesn't have to be your kids. She goes to the respective homes of Umar radiallahu anhu, and she tells the wives of Umar, listen, you must tell Umar, he mustn't involve himself in the matters of my husband Muaz. Allah's Nabi trusted him and he has no authority. The giant Umar is summoned. The giant Umar. The point I want to make, and I hope my time allows me, what made the marriage unique was not that there were no issues or glitches or hiccups or arguments. It was the manner in which they responded. That is what resolved it. Umar radiallahu anhu comes home. His wife says, listen, all his wife, that Muadh's wife was here and she was complaining and moaning and groaning. And why would you want to put someone to monitor the affairs of Muadh? Umar said, I have no clue that I did this, but summon Muadh. Ripple effects. Muadh radiallahu anhu is called on. Ba'athtu alayka raqiba. Muadh, did I put someone in place to monitor your affairs? No, not at all. Well, supposedly this is what your wife said to my wives. Well, the truth is, Umar, when I came home, I was put in the spot. I just told her there was a guardian. This is what she understood, and I couldn't change her mind otherwise. The narration goes so beautifully. Fadahika Umar. Umar says, the buck stops here. The point is understood. He then dissolves it with a broad smile, puts his hand in his pocket, takes out something. He said, go and buy her a lavish gift from my side. I really want to speak on certain aspects of the life of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And the first is, especially in the climate in which we live, where much focus is on external beauty, where everybody has become figure conscious. I was reading a book on CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy. In that they say 90% of women today suffer image anxiety. 50% of people, of youngsters who smoke, do so to suppress an appetite. 69% of men were interviewed and they said they wish they looked like others. So when this is the image consciousness people have of themselves, can you imagine how conscious they will be about their partner? Can you imagine how conscious they will be? The advertisement, the billboards, this constant invitation to the external beauty and the cosmetic things of this world. When we look into the life of Nabi alayhi salam, we find that there was a fair amount, in its moderate balance, an element of sustaining love, affection, infatuation, crush over the spouse, and this relation continued. And I'll briefly share this with you, because sometimes, unfortunately, we in the beginning, the couple is very excited, so we want to eat together. So do I give the morsel first, or does she give the morsel first? What meal? Eat together. Whoever gives it first. And then we don't eat at the same time, never mind from the same plate. The hadith is in Bukhari. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is relaxed. Aisha radiallahu anha nudges him. Ara'ayta law nazalta wadiya. Look at the communication. Look at the chat. Oh, my beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, can I quiz you? Go for it, Aisha, I'm all yours. أَرَأَيْتَ لَوْ نَزَلْتَ وَادِيَا. If you're traveling and you're on your camel and probably you halt at some desert. وَفِيهَا شَجَرَةٌ أُكِلَ مِنْهَا وَشَجَرَةٌ لَمْ يُوكَلْ مِنْهَا. And then there are trees from which the animals are coming, eating, grazing and moving on. And then this clean, untouched, virgin tree. فِيَيِّهَا كُنْتَ تُرْتِعُ بَعِيرَكَ. Where would you probably take your camel to graze, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Aisha, the answer is obvious. No, but say it, O Nabi of Allah. Say it, O Nabi of Allah. I would take my camel to graze from that tree from which no animal has eaten. يعني أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لم يتزوج بكرا غيرها. And she was modestly implying that from all your spouses and your consorts, I'm the only spouse that has not been previously married. And rightfully so, we heard the couplets, and let me just share it again with you, where she speaks about the poet speaks about the privileges that Allah had given to Aisha radiallahu anha. مَا شَانُ أُمِّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَشَانِي هُدِيَ الْمُحِبُّ لَهَا وَضَلَّ الشَّانِي إِنِّي أَقُولُ مُبَيِّنًا عَنْ فَضْلِهَا وَمُتَرْجِمًا عَنْ قَوْلِهَا بِلِسَانِي يا مبغضي لا تأتي قبر محمدي فالبيت بيتي والمكان مكاني إني خصصت على نساء محمدي بصفات بر تحتهن معاني وسبقتهن إلى رائبي فاليوم يومي والزمان زماني زوجي رسول الله لم أر غيره الله زوجني به وحباني وأتاه جبريل الأمين بصورتي فأحبني المختار حين رآني أنا بكره العذراء عندي سره وضجيعه في منزلي قمراني وتكلم الله العظيم بحجتي وبراءتي في محكم القرآن والله خفرني وعظم حرمتي وعلى لسان نبيه براني والله في القرآن قد لعن الذي بعد البراءة بالقبيح رماني والله وبخ من أراد تنقصي إفكا وسبح نفسه في شاني إني لمحصنة الإزار بريئة ودليل حسن طهارتي إحصاني والله أحصنني بخاتم رسله وأذل أهل الإفك والبهتان وسمعت وحي الله عند محمد من جبرائيل ونوره يغشاني أوحى إليه وكنت تحت ثيابه فحنى علي بثوبه خباني من ذا يفاخرني من ذا يفاخرني وينكر صحبتي. ومحمد في حجري رباني. If I can tell you what has been contained in these couplets, it is mind-boggling. I'll just briefly run you through a few stanzas. هُدِيَ الْمُحِبُّ لَهَا, the one who loves Aisha because of her position to Nabi alayhi salam will be guided. وَضَلَّ الشَّانِي, and deviant is the blasphemous individual. إِنِّي أَقُولُ مُبَيِّنًا عَنْ فَضْلِهَا وَمُتَرْجِمًا عَنْ قَوْلِهَا بِلِسَانِي. I endeavor to speak and expound on the sentiments of Aisha radiallahu anha. يَا مُبْغِضِي لَا تَأْتِ قَبْرَ مُحَمَّدِي. If you have resentment and you despise me, then don't come to the grave of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You need to know, فَالْبَيْتُ بَيْتِي وَالْمَكَانُ مَكَانِي. It's my house, it's my abode. إِنِّي خُسِسْتُ عَلَى نِسَاءِ مُحَمَّدِي. Allah gave me privilege over the spouses of Nabi alayhi salam in many ways. مَرِضَ النَّبِيُّ وَمَاتَ بَيْنَ تَرَائِبِي. Allah decreed, Allah ordained the death, the demise of Nabi alayhi salam in my house, in my home, in my lap, in my arms. مريض النبي ومات بين ترائبي فاليوم يومي. And that just reminds me of the couplets of Safiya radiyallahu anha. When the Nabi of Allah passed away, she said, لِيَبْكِ عَلَيْكَ الْيَوْمَ مَنْ كَانَ بَاكِيًا لَعَمْرِي مَا أَبْكِ النَّبِيَّ لِمَوْتِهِ وَلَكِنْ لِهَرَجٍ كَانَ بَعْدَكَ آتِيًا أَفَاطِمَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ رَبُّ مُحَمَّدٍ عَلَى جَدَةٍ أَمْسَى بِيَثْرِبَ ثَاوِيًا أرى حسنا أيتمته وتركته يبكي ويدعو جده اليوم نائيا فدا لرسول الله عمي وخالتي صبرت وبلغت الرسالة صادقا ومت صليب الدين أبلج صافيا فلو أن رب العرش أبقاك بيننا سعدنا ولكن أمره كان ماضيا من الله السلام تحية وأدخلت جنات من العدن راضيا. She said, listen, when others cry, we say, stop now, your beloved has passed away, take it easy. But whoever wants to cry today, you have license to cry. I'm not going to stop anybody. The greatest human has passed, cry. لِيَبْكِ عَلَيْكَ الْيَوْمَ مَنْ كَانَ بَاكِيًا لَعَمْرِي مَا أَبْكِ النَّبِيَّ لِمَوْتِهِ. Trust me, I'm not crying over the demise of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam as much as I am crying over the crisis that will grip and rock the planet post the demise of Nabi alayhi salam. One old man passes away and there's havoc in a family. One scholar from an institution goes and there's mayhem in that institution. Can you imagine when Muhammad bids farewell to this world, what would happen to the planet? لعمري ما أبكي النبي لموته ولكن لهرج كان بعدك آتيا أفاطم صلى الله رب محمد على جدث أمسى بيثرب ثاويا. Oh Fatima, may the blessings of Allah descend on the blessed soul of your dad. I cannot look at Hassan, he's screaming out to his maternal granddad who has moved on. صبرت, you persevered, وبلغت الرسالة الصادقة, and you diligently conveyed the message of Nubuwwat, and you left deen bright and radiant, O Nabi of Allah. فلو أن رب العرش أبقاك بيننا سعدنا. Oh my words. فلو أن رب العرش أبقاك بيننا سعدنا ولكن أمره كان ماضيا. If only Allah prolonged your stay within us, we would be ecstatic. We would have been overwhelmed. But who can tamper with the decree of destiny and taqdeer? May the blessings of Allah descend upon you. Surely Jannat is also waiting for a long time as you are happily ushered. Of Allah, I don't know another man. لم أرى غيره. الله زوجني به وحباني وأتاه جبريل الأمين بصورة. فأحبني المختار روحه العظيم بحجتي وبراءتي في محكم القرآن. And Allah exonerated me in the Quran. وتكلم الله العظيم بحجتي وبراء والله وبخ من أراد تنقصي إفكا وسبح نفسه في شاني. I don't want to go into the couplets, it will take up too much of my time. But it's the last stanza. من ذا يفاخرني من ذا يفاخر. Who has the audacity to still deny my privilege? Who has the audacity to still deny my privilege? وَمُحَمَّدٌ فِي حِجْرِهِ رَبَّانِي. When Muhammad Sassim molded me, groomed me in his own lap. I heard Quran from my honorable teacher, and may Allah preserve him. And you heard it from your mom, and good luck to you. Aisha said, I heard it fresh from Jibreel when he was giving it to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَسَمِعْتُ وَحْيَ اللَّهِ عِنْدَ مُحَمَّدِ مِنْ جِبْرَئِيلَ وَنُورُهُ يَغْشَانِ. I'm sitting here and he's chatting with me and he says, I just paused, Jibreel has walked in. My word, can you comprehend? So we said the first point is that in the marriage we need to have some form of warmness, love, affection. This thing needs to happen. The Nabi of Allah is returning from a campaign and with him is Jabir radiallahu anhu. The Nabi of Allah's piety is to perfection, as to pinnacle. Returning from a campaign, it would just keep a person that much higher in terms of spirituality. I'm talking on a general note, otherwise the Nabi of Allah was at optimum on every level. I just have a flash in my mind in the footnotes of Abu Dawud, Badlul Majhud, the great work of Maulana Khalil Ahmed Saharanpuri rahimahullah. Is mentioned there that when we exit from the loo, when we exit from the toilet, the teachings of the Nabi of Allah is Ghufranak, Ay Natlubu Ghufranak. Oh Allah, forgive us. The question is, why do we ask Allah forgiveness when we didn't commit a crime in the toilet? Well, today maybe we do commit crime, so today you need to double istighfar. Today you have a right that Ghufranak, you can, you know, run with it. Because, you know what, there's chatting, there's WhatsApping, everything is happening there in the loo. And I had an amazing idea. Where? In the toilet or the shower? Why did the Nabi of Allah say Ghufranak? Because his heart and his tongue was perpetually moist in the remembrance of Allah. When he was relieving himself, his heart was still connected to Allah. But the location denied him to verbally utter the glory and the greatness of Allah. So due to the location, he was unable to articulate it when he exited, "Oh Allah, forgive me." Anyway, the Nabi of Allah is returning. Jabir, you going ahead of us? What's all the excitement? I'm married, oh Nabi of Allah. Awesome, great, wonderful. What's it, someone young or old? What's the Nabi of Allah talking? No, brother, you shouldn't be talking these type of things now. Now, look at the Nabi of Allah. We need balance, brothers. We need balance. Sometimes piety hits a level we forget. Mufti Taqi Uthmani has written, taking active steps to love your spouse is not part of the things of this world, it's part of akhirat. You know, say, no, don't love this world, that's dunya. Don't love your car, that's things of this world. Don't get attached to the worldly, mundane things, rightfully so. Don't get attached to your spouse, no. Getting attached to your spouse and winning his or her confidence from both sides, this is part of deen. Jabir, elderly or young? Oh, Nabi of Allah, slightly elderly. Halla bikran tula'ibuha wa tula'ibuk, tudahikuha wa tudahikuk. Jabir, someone young, man, you could have a bit of fun. You could have a bit, I'm paraphrasing, scholars are sitting here, may Allah guide my tongue that I ever say anything out of line. تُضَاحِكُهَا وَتُضَاحِكُكْ تُلَاعِبُهَا وَتُلَاعِبُكْ. There are sisters here and I want to be modest as well, but I want to capture the essence of the translation. You could have some fun. On the way of Allah, I had different reasons. My dad had moved on, I had siblings, I was looking for someone a bit mature that could take care of my siblings and be a spouse to me. Asabta, your wisdom is great, but that's just the thought that I thought I would share with you. Wonderful, wonderful. We know the incident of Abu Talha and Umme Sulaim, and we've heard it multiple times. The union is going through strain, there's a child that is sick. Now this happens in times, and I said this and I'm going to repeat it again. If a man comes home to a healthy marriage, a stable marriage, an established relationship, trust me, it is adequate to empower you to become resilient to all the challenges of life. You can go out, you can perform, you can deliver, you can flex your muscles. If you come in home, your battery is getting charged properly. But if everything is good at home, in your life, in your business, in the economy, your kids, but you're not coming home to a healthy marriage, the collective prosperity in the respective spheres of your life won't able to give you muscle to become resilient in your domestic challenges. That is how amazing and how important our marital structure is. It's the foundation. So the marriage is taking strain and there's a child that is sick. It obviously takes strain on both partners. The husband goes, Allah's will, the child passes away. I just want to make an anecdotal reference and move on. In the interim, the wife gives ghusl to her own child. The husband returns. How's the little one doing? Huwa askanu mimma kan. I haven't seen a woman in my mind and thought, in my research and my understanding, who has condensed all forms of therapy, psychology, wisdom, diplomacy in one statement like Umme Sulaim. May the countless blessings of Allah descend on this blessed soul. How's the little one, my wife? He is more peaceful than what he was. He is more peaceful than what he was. He positively interprets it. What happens then? قَدَّمَتْ إِلَيْهِ الْعَشَىٰ. She presents to him the dinner of the day. He eats the food. The narration of Muslim. ثُمَّ تَصَنَّعَتْ لَهُ أَحْسَنَ مَا كَانَتْ تَصَنَّعُ لَهُ مِنْ قَبْلِ. then she decorates, she dolls herself up. She, the narration of Muslim, she dolls herself up. Her husband ate, the janaza of her son is lying in that house. Islam has great, you want to go for a marriage workshop? You want to go pay a good $500? Study the seerah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They say marriage is a workshop. You go or you don't. Men work, women shop. She decorates herself. Waqa'a biha. He's a man. He came home. He's tired. You say, you know, this man, he wants to get married the second time. It's only for lust. I say, okay, and the first time was for what? Forgive me, I'm not... عَلِمَ اللَّهُ أَنَّكُمْ سَتَذْكُرُونَهُنَّ وَلَكِنْ لَا تُوَاعِدُوهُنَّ سِرًّا. Oh, my words. عَلِمَ اللَّهُ أَنَّكُمْ سَتَذْكُرُونَهُنَّ وَلَكِنْ لَا تُوَاعِدُوهُنَّ سِرًّا. When a woman is in iddat, then Allah says, I know you men, you won't resist not speaking about her. Alim Allah, Allah knows. So it's no problem if you give a hint to put a message in while she's in iddat. Just a hint, nothing more, please. Let me qualify my statements here. To put a hint and say, listen, after iddat is over, I am interested. Our deen is complete. Our deen is wholesome. Take it in its complete embrace. He then has relation, he has relation, conjugal relation. Can you imagine the contradicting emotions in the life of this woman? But she understood the duty and the responsibility that I need to decorate and adorn myself for my spouse and vice versa, vice versa. Abdullah ibn Abbas said, I used to always beautify myself because that's precisely what I want my wife to do for me. فَلَمَّا رَأَتْ أَنْ شَبِعَ. These words just fascinate me. When she seen my husband's belly was satiated, his thirst was quenched, his physical manly need was taken care of, she said, darling, I need to talk to you. My sister, if you can welcome your husband like this, and thereafter he doesn't listen to you, you can throw a tantrum for the rest of your life. And I give you license. You can kick up a performance, but not if you, from the phone, you know, a friend of mine, he says, my wife phones at work. Then I answer, where are you? You phoning at work. It's a landline. Where are you? And for the benefit of woman, because my wife told me, please balance your jokes. I can just imagine, anyway. So they say, what's the issue with men? If a woman phones her husband, then you're disturbing me. And if a man phones a woman, I love you, so I was thinking of you. If a woman advises her husband, you're dominating me. You're interfering in my life. And if you don't advise, you see, you're not even concerned about me. When she seen all was done, she said, I need to talk to you. Talk to me, my husband. Talk to me, my wife. I'm listening. أَرَأَيْتَ لَوْ أَنَّ قَوْمًا أَعَارُوا عَارِيَتَهُمْ. You want to go for psychology, you want to go for therapy, you want to go for all these workshops. Look at the gentle, euphemistic, diplomatic engagement. Listen, listen, love, I need to ask you a question. If somebody borrowed us something for a period of time and the duration has lapsed, do we have the rights to still keep the item after the duration that they borrowed it for has expired? No, not at all. But where are you going with this theory? Allah borrowed us our son, the duration has expired. Allah borrowed. The narration continues. I just wanted to mention this and continue. If you study the lives of the Sahaba, you would be amazed how natural it was. Atika bint Zayd bin Amr bin Nufail radiyallahu anha, a woman of exceptional beauty. She gets married to Abdurrahman ibn Abi Bakr. A stray arrow hits him on his chest, claims his life, and he passes away. So she sings couplets lamenting his demise. Wa alaytu la tanfakku ayni sakhinatan alayka wa la yanfakku jildi aghbara. Oh, my husband, I would cry so much over you. And this is the bond. Abul As ibn Rabi, Nabi Sassam praised him. People don't know about this son-in-law. He had not accepted Islam. His wife Zainab, the first daughter of Nabi alayhi salam, had accepted Islam. At that time, it was still permissible. The Quraysh had mounted immense pressure on him. طلق صاحبتك. Doesn't divorce your wife. We don't have an issue with you, but you can't be married to the daughter of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Other issues, but I never would want to substitute my wife for any woman on the earth till the day I die. The Nabi of Allah acknowledged him. حدثني فصدقني ووعدني فوفابي. This man took my daughter's hands, and what he claimed the day he took my daughter, he lived with it till the day he died. That is why the same Sayyidina Uthman, when Ruqayya and Umm Kulthum passed away, Nabi alayhi salam said, if I had multiple daughters, I would line them up each one after the other. How many father-in-laws would want to do that? He might be regretting his first move. So anyway, after the period goes, Sayyidina Umar proposes to her. So she says, no, I can't get married. My husband gave me a garden and he said, I love you so much. This is a gift. Don't get married to anyone. And that reminds me of something I read in Tafsir al-Qushayri. Allama Abu al-Qasim Qushayri al-Nisaburi al-Shafi'i has written this here. I read this, I was like, wow, just look at this man. فَإِن طَلَّقَهَا فَلَا تَحِلُّ لَهُ مِن بَعْدُ حَتَّى تَنْكِحَ زَوْجًا غَيْرًا. People ask the rationale and the wisdom and the logic that when you pronounce the third talaq, then you cannot wed your wife until and unless she doesn't move out of this marriage, she has to remarry. He writes, and you can reference this, and I read it myself, direct in his tafsir. The wisdom, the potential wisdom of this restriction, or this condition that Allah has imposed, that once you give the third talaq, then your wife has to marry to someone else, and that relation needs to be consummated, and if at all it gets dissolved, then iddat has to occur, and post that, then she becomes permissible and legal for her first spouse. He writes, it is a human nature that a man is possessive over his female members. And he wouldn't want to, in normal circumstances, imagine his wife getting married to someone else. It's something that a man would hold and want and desire, that this is my wife and my spouse, and I can't imagine her with another man. So because man's nature, his possessive nature, wouldn't allow that, Allah said, listen, if you're going to give three talaqs, that what you dread is going to happen. That which you dread and despise, that's going to happen. So Allah put this barrier in place that the consequences will be catastrophic if we pronounce the third talaq, to make man restrain himself and not issue talaq. The 65th chapter of the Quran, 28 juz, Surah Talaq, 4 pages, 5 times Allah tells the men, fear me. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ رَبَّكُمْ وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ يُسْرًا وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يُكَفِّرْ عَنْهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِ وَيُعْظِمْ لَهُ أَجْرًا فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قَدْ أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكُمْ ذِكْرًا. تفسير عثماني footnotes, this is where I read this. In 4 pages, 5 times, Allah said, hang on, fear me how you deal with this woman. 5 times, Allah alerted you, tapped on your conscience. Be cognizant of the responsibility on your shoulders. So anyway, Sayyidina Umar proposes to her. She says, no, I have a garden my husband gave me. Umar said, consult with the scholars and the jurists. Consulted Ali radiallahu anhu. Ali radiallahu anhu said, no, no, return the garden and you can get married. So the garden was returned. Sayyidina Umar then gets married. He calls Ali for the walima. Now, since Sahaba's lives were general, normal, casual, at the walima, Sayyidina Ali, the giant, the legend, the luminary, the great man, he tells Sayyidina Umar, إِذَنْ لِي أُكَلِّمَهَا. Can I have a word behind the curtain with your spouse? He says, yeah, go for it. وَآلَيْتُ لَا تَنْفَكُّ عَيْنِي سَخِينَةً عَلَيْكَ وَلَا يَنْفَكُّ جِلْدِي أَغْبَرًا. Atika, when your husband passed away, I thought you're never going to dress up and you'll never get married. What's happening? نَشَجَتْ نَشْجًا عَالِيَا. She gives off a cry. Umar radiallahu anhu nudges Ali. He says, Ali, hang on, it's my first night. You can't do this to me. لَا تُفْسِدْ عَلَيَّ أَهْلِي. Look at how natural and normal. We move on. The second thing that is of paramount importance, while we need to have love, affection, warmness and all that, there has to be ibadat. That is the ruh, that is the soul. The hadith is Abu Dawud, rahimallahu imra'an, may Allah have mercy on that man, qama min al-layl, who stands up in the night, and then ayqadha ahla, he awakens his wife, or the wife gets up, she revives her husband, and they both engage in prayer. You won't have my dua or his dua, you will have the dua of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When Salman Farsi got married and he met with his wife, He said, هَلْ أَنْتِ مُطِيعَتِي فِي شَيْءٍ أَمُرُكِ بِهِ. I'm going to advise you something, would you listen? جَلَسْتُ مَجْلِسَ مَنْ يُطَاعُ. I'm all yours. I'm all yours. أوصاني خليلي إذا اجتمعت إلى أهلي أن أجتمع على طاعة الله عز وجل. My Habib told me when I start my union, I started with the obedience of Allah. They go in isolation, they engage in prayer. Look at this incident of Abdullah bin Rawaha, both sides. Recreation, fun and worship. So Abdullah bin Rawaha is having a moment with his wife in her house. She excuses herself. His slave girl was in the house as well. It was a slave girl, not domestic servant. Slave girl. The rules of slavery, we understand the juristic rulings, etc. He had the need to share the bed with his spouse, with the slave girl. The wife had excused herself. He goes and he has relation. After he completes relation, his wife walks in and she sees him there. She goes into panic. She becomes hysterical. He gets up and he advances and he sees that there is a knife in her hand. Mahyam, Mahyam, what's the matter? She's like, you're still asking, what's the matter? Huh? Where were you? No, by my friends. Friends! Friends! Why don't you say female friends? Oh, whoa, whoa. Mahyam, Mahyam, what's the matter? No, nothing. لو رأيتك حين رأيتك لأوجعتها بين كتفيك. If I had to see you where I saw you, I would plunge this in your shoulders. Where did you see me? You know where? No, no, no. If I had to be there, I would have been impure. I can read Quran for you to prove I'm pure. Okay, read Quran. وَفِينَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ يَتْلُو كِتَابَهُ إِذَا انشَقَّ مَعْرُوفٌ مِّنَ الْفَجْرِ سَطِعُ أَرَانَا الْهُدَى بَعْدَ الْعَمَى فَقُلُوبُنَا بِهِ مُوقِنَاتٌ. You know, people want to go out. They want to go to carnivals. They want to go to fairs. They want to have fun. Sahaba live natural, normal lives. So what he does, he doesn't read Quran, he sings Arabic poetry but with a melodious tune. So she says, Amantu billah wa kadhabtu bil basar. Okay, if you read in Quran, you pure, see how pure and clean they were. Then I deny what I seen and I believe what you said. But he was a believer, it started playing on his conscience because I wasn't reading Quran, I was in a state of impurity. So he comes to the Nabi of Allah, oh Nabi of Allah, this is what happened, I didn't do anything haram, I was just having relation with my slave girl, but obviously my wife was uneasy with this whole thing, and he got a bit ugly, and the moment wasn't too good, so then I just proved that I'm pure, and I read poetry. ضحك رسول الله حتى بدت نواجزه. Abdullah bin Rawaha said, in my whole life I've seen him laugh, but never so much, till his blessed teeth became exposed. Yet the same Abdullah is in the lap of the same wife, and then tears trickle down his eyes. We can be having some fun, my wife, and we can be spending some quality time, but we can also be chatting to Allah together. What a sight, what a sight. And again, as the father, let me say this, لَيْسَ شَيْءٌ أَقَرَّ لِعَيْنِ الْمُؤْمِنِ مِنْ أَنْ يَرَى زَوْجَتَهُ وَأَوْلَادَهُ مُطِيعِينَ لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. You can thrill some people by seeing their children in an assembly. You can thrill others by seeing their children in a graduation. You can fascinate others by seeing their children in a drama lesson. But you can only thrill a believer by seeing his wife and children in Allah's obedience. There's nothing else that fascinates a believer. There's nothing else that intrigues a believer. So he's sitting with his wife. He looks up and then he starts tearing. His wife looks at him and tears trickle down her face. He asks his wife, what makes you cry? She says, my beloved, I was sitting here and my thoughts started running. And I started imagining Qiyamah. You know, today we love so much, but on Qiyamah we wouldn't know where we will be. And then comes the time to cross the bridge. And then I wonder if I'll make it across the bridge. And she says, رَأَيْتُكَ تَبْكِي فَبَكَيْتْ. I wasn't sure what made you cry, but just to know my husband is in pain was enough to make me cry. When I'm in the lap of my wife, do I have a flesh of an ayah? I have a flesh of another woman. Allah forgive, I am fantasizing. May Allah save one and all. So the second point that we need to understand also, coupled with our love and our affection, there has to be spiritual time. There has to be time together. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Aisha radiallahu anha, walks in. He sees the moment is right. He says, O Nabi of Allah, make a dua for me. Allahumma ghfir li Aishata ma taqaddama min zambiha wa ma ta'akharat wa ma a'lanat wa ma asarrat. Allah, this is my Aisha. I love her so much. Allah forgive her, her minor, her major, her inner, her outer, her previous, her future. Aisha radiallahu anha said, I was so elated, my head fell in my lap. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ma yasurruki. Aisha, what makes you so excited? O Nabi of Allah, you made dua for me. You made dua for me. Aisha, innaha la da'wati li ummati kulla yawmin. Aisha, I make that dua for my ummah every day. Khadija radiallahu anha was another woman, oh my words. She was 40 when she came into the nikah of my Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She was 65 when she moved on. Jami'u awladi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam minha illa Ibrahim. All the Nabi of Allah's children were from Khadija with the exception of Ibrahim radiyallahu anhu from Maria Qibtiyya radiyallahu anha. He had another slave girl, Rayhana radiyallahu anha. وَهِيَ مِنْ أَقْرَبِ نِسَائِهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِلَيْهِ فِي النَّسَبِ. She was related to the Nabi of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. Khadija was the daughter of Khuwaylid, who was the son of Asad, who was the son of Abdul Uzza, who was the son of Qusay. Go in the ancestry of Nabi عليه السلام, Qusay is the ancestor of Nabi عليه السلام. So Khadija's ancestor and Nabi عليه السلام's ancestor becomes one. كَانَتْ تُدْعَى فِي الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ طَاهِرَةً. Her title pre-Islam was chaste, pure, amazing. ما غرت على أحد من نساء النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما غرت على خديجة. Aisha radiallahu anha said, from all the women, I knew my position was anchored and established. I wasn't threatened or intimidated by anyone. But if there was someone who threatened me and intimidated me, and I'm paraphrasing, it was Khadija radiallahu anha. But the most amazing thing is I never seen her. There was a little moment with Umm Salma, but then I realized I was on top. There was a little moment with Umm Salma, Tabaqat ibn Asad. When Nabi alayhi salam got married to Umm Salma, hazantu huznan shadida. I went into a depression. Straight, I went into a depression. Why? They told me she's very beautiful. Fatalattaftu laha, I camouflaged. Hatta ra'aytuha, I seen her. Fawajadtuha ab'afa ma wusifat li min al-jamal. And when I looked, I realized she was way more beautiful than what I heard. You know, sister phoned me, she said, my husband took another wife. I said, okay, what can I do? She said, I don't want to see this woman. Okay? But then I feel, Mawlana, what you feel? I should see her, no? What do I do, sister? Go for it. Good luck. I don't want to see her. Okay. But something tells me, no, I need to see her. Go for it then. فَتَلَطَّفْتُ I camouflaged. حَتَّى رَأَيْتُهَا I seen her. فَوَجَدْتُهَا أَضْعَافْ I seen she was way more beautiful. I got more depressed. I bounced it off. Hafsa. وَكَانَتَا يَدًا وَاحِدَةً Hafsa and me, we belong to one group. So there were two groups. There were two distinct. It was Aisha radiallahu anha. It was Hafsa radiallahu anha. It was Sauda radiallahu anha. And it was Safiya radiallahu anha. And the other spouses respectfully in one group. So this is how the understanding. And the Nabi of Allah with his composure, he managed everything. Anyway, what was I mentioning? Aisha, Umm Salma radiallahu anha. I seen her, then I bounced it off Hafsa. So Hafsa radiallahu anha said, she is beautiful, but not what you're thinking. You are just becoming nervous and excited, and it's your pride, and it's your feeling, and it's your emotions. So I went back and carefully balanced, rational, I looked properly. I said, no, you're right. However, she says, if there was any person that really threatened me was Khadija. وَمَا رَأَيْتُهَا And I didn't see her. وَلَكِنْ كَانَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يُكْثِرُ ذِكْرَهَا But the Nabi of Allah used to just speak hours about Khadija. And then, رُبَمَا ذَبَحَ الشَّاتِ Sometimes a sheep would come, there wouldn't be much food at home. But he would say, let's slaughter this year. And can we send this to all the friends of my late Khadija? Oh my word. My sister, have you put that impression in the heart of your husband? And my brother, have you lived that legacy to impress your wife? ثُمَّ يَبْعَثُهَا فِي صَدَائِقِ خَدِيجَةِ He would send this to the homes of Khadija. فَرُبَمَا قُلْتُ لَهُ Sometimes I would say, كَأَنَّهُ لَمْ يَكُنْ فِي الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا إِمْرَأَ O Nabi of Allah, I hope you don't mind. Was there another woman that came on this earth besides Khadija? I'm just asking. These are the words, literal. Was there another woman? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the short answer is, Kanat wa Kanat. She was out of the world. She was amazing. The narration of Tabrani, Aisha radiallahu anha said, Kana idha dhakara Khadija, when he would start praising Khadija, Lam yas'am min al-thana'i alayha wal-istighfar. You couldn't stop him now from praising. When the Nabi, if you started him on Khadija, there was non-stop. She was amazing, she was wonderful, she was phenomenal, she was unique. And then tears would well in his eyes and then non-stop du'as. Do we have that in our marriages? And I'm going to say something here. It's important that we praise one another. Healthy. We need to learn to acknowledge, compliment, extol the praises. So there is a verse of the Quran, and I think this is very key today, where we take too many things for granted. In our relations, we take too many things for granted. Something that is a favor, we take it as a due. And that changes our attitude. Allah told the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the 22nd juz,
تُرْجِي مَن تَشَاءُ مِنْهُنَّ وَتُؤْوِي إِلَيْكَ مَن تَشَاءُ وَمَنِ ابْتَغَيْتَ مِمَّنْ عَزَلْتَ فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْكَ ذَلِكَ أَدْنَى أَن تَقَرَّ أَعْيُنُهُنَّ وَلَا يَحْزَنَّ وَيَرْضَيْنَ بِمَا آتَيْتَهُنَّ كُلُّهُنَّ.
O Nabi of Allah, you can postpone the chance of any wife. So with all your spouses, you exempted from mutual rotation. The Nabi of Allah had all the polygamous relation, multiple spouses, and to crown it, Allah gave him concession. You don't have to balance it out. You don't have to balance. So you can postpone, listen, I don't want to visit you for 5 days. And then if you've put a woman on hold and finally you decide you want to call her, you are at liberty to call her. وَمَنِ ابْتَغَيْتَ مِمَّنْ عَزَلْتَ فَلَا جُنَى. There's no issue. You shouldn't be feeling guilty or apologizing. But that's not all. Time is short. ذَلِكَ أَدْنَى أَن تَقَرَّ أَعْيُنُهُنَّ. We instituted this concession not only in your interest but in the interest of your spouse. Now, that would raise the alarm bells. That would give me, put my thinking cap on. How does this become a concession or an ease or a privilege or a perk for the spouses? The scholars of tafsir expound, Jazahumallahu anna khair al-jaza, that one of the greatest challenges in marriage is when a person believes this is my right. So when your spouse thinks this is my right, she will be anxious, she'll be waiting, come home, right? You're waiting. And if you come late, you become anxious. But when the wife knows it's not her right, now she will value whatever she gets. By way of example, you're stranded on the road and you're an AA member, and if they come late, which they're likely to, you're gonna have a go with them, and you're gonna say, no, this is not on, man. I'm paying a fee, I expect a service, and this is not on. You know, I'm gonna terminate my membership. But a person you don't know from a bar of soap, he stops after three hours, you're not gonna look at him and tell him, Is this the time to stop? You know, I'm waiting here for 3 hours. Jazakallah, brother. So kind of you. Really, I mean, it means so much. Even if he only offers you moral support. Why? Because you know that is a favor and not a due. Today, unfortunately, and that's exactly for your spouses, that when you come, they welcome you. That my Nabi is giving me a chance. And it's not his right. But you know what's the beauty? The Nabi of Allah never opted for the concession, never mind abused it. That's a separate topic, and I've given a talk on this here, and I don't have time to expound and deviate into this here. The Nabi of Allah never opted, even before his death. Generally, you have miles, and you know what is going to expire. Then you create a flight just to redeem your miles, because you're going to lose it. So why, for nothing, just go for a holiday, good luck. Before passing away, I never exercised this right. Let me just use it now. And his health did not permit, even then he didn't use it. Often in the marriage, I want my wife to look after my mother or assist my mother. Or not that my mother needs it, but just to do something for my mom. I need to know that that's not the duty of my wife, that's her kindness. As a man, I need to go the extra mile to tell her it means so much to me. Really, my wife, this is a surprise, this is a gift. You cook this for my mom, I am so humbled by your gesture. But now to impose something on her which is not her right. I'm not saying don't make her do it. Let's have things objectively. I'm saying if you want it, it's your mom, and rightfully so. You need to play the balance act that it's not my wife's duty, it's my responsibility. She's doing me a favor. I need to acknowledge it. And if my in-laws are coming home and they're putting up there for a few days, it can take a bit of time. You know what I mean? So my wife, you also need to see me right. You also need to acknowledge and compliment me and acknowledge me, vice versa. Things that are not part of our duty, we take it as a due, it causes major problems in the marriage. The Nabi of Allah is sitting, but I know he won't put me under pressure. You guys can't be that hungry. Khadija radiallahu anha's sister knocks on the door. Look at the love. Oh man, hala. Nabi Sassim hears the knock. He says, that is so nostalgic. That is like my late Khadija's knock. Arafa isti'dana Khadija. Oh, my Khadija used to knock like that on the door. Aisha radiallahu anha said, I couldn't hold myself. Ma tazkuru min ajuzin min ajayizi Quraysh. Hamra ash-shidqain. Abdalaka Allahu khayran minha. Oh, Nabi of Allah, am I going to be yearning Khadija till I die? Nabi Sassim, calm and composed. Composed. Amanat bi ith kafarani an-nas. صدقتني إذ كذبني الناس وواستني بمالها إذ حرمني الناس Aisha, you were not born. The whole world looked at me skeptical. She embraced me. Others withheld her funds. She put her funds before me. Others doubted me. She embraced me. You don't expect me not to sing her praises. You don't expect me. And the Nabi of Allah is the father again. The narration is in Hayatul Sahaba. He's sitting with Umm Ayman radiallahu anha. There's a knock on the door. Inna hadha ladakku Fatima. Inna hadha. Oh, this is my Fatima knocking at the door. When you say he was hands on, you're saying he was hands on. Inna hadha ladakku. Walakad atatna fi sa'atin ma'awadatna an ta'tina fi mithliha. This is not usual for my Fatima to come. It's an odd hour. If she came now, there's something panicking, worrying her. Oh my word. Look at the Nabi of Allah as the father and husband. She walks in modestly, expedite things. Oh Nabi of Allah, hadhihi al-malaika ta'amuha at-tahleel wa-tasbih wa-tahmeed. Fama ta'amuna. Oh Nabi of Allah, the angels glorify Allah. Yusabbihuna al-layla wa-nahara la yafturun. La yasbiqunahu bil-qawli wa-hum bi-amrihi ya'malun. Oh Nabi of Allah, there's poverty in our house. It's me, it's your son-in-law and your grandchildren. Can you imagine what a test this must have been for the Nabi of Allah? You don't want to see your children in that position. Fatima, I can teach you 5 words of deen. Or I can give you some goats that have come in. وَلَقَدْ أَتَتْنَا أَعْنُزْ. There's some goats I can give you, or I can teach you something. Make a call. O Nabi of Allah, teach me those words. And I will take that to heart. And I will pass it back to my husband. قولي سي يا أول الأولين ويا آخر الآخرين ويا راحم المساكين يا ذا القوة المتين يا أرحم الراحمين. Fatima takes the words. She goes back home. ذَهَبْتُ مِنْ عِنْدِكَ لِلدُّنْيَا وَرَجَعْتُ بِالْآخِرَةِ. Oh my husband, I left with the desire to bring food, but I came back with some akhira. He says, you came with something more wholesome than what I had dispatched you with. You go with a shopping list and come back with a dua? Never mind, come back with a dua. You come back with that trolley full and buy one item wrong. So you see, you get foil. You get that heavyweight foil, lightweight foil. I'm just giving one example. I'm not the only man that shops. If you are told lightweight, don't buy heavyweight. You understand what I'm saying? If you are told lightweight foil, you just lightweight. That's it. But like it said, you buy lightweight. Anyway, let's move on. Time is running up badly here. Oh my words. Sauda, she was this amazing wife. Elderly, jovial, hilarious, keeping everybody laughing. The Nabi of Allah divorced her. The narrations don't explain why. She sat down. I read the verse. وَإِنْ إِمْرَأَةٌ خَافَتْ مِنْ بَعْلِهَا نُشُوزًا أَوْ إِعْرَاضًا فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْهِمَا أَنْ يُصْلِحَا بَيْنَهُمَا صُلْحًا. O Nabi of Allah, طَلَّقْتَنِي لِمُوجِدَةٍ وَجَدْتَهَا عَلَيَّ. Have I angered you badly? No, you have not. Please revoke me and take me back in your marriage. I have taken you and revoked you back in my marriage. O Nabi of Allah, I've moved on from the need of men. So I want to be your wife, live as your spouse, die as your partner, and be resurrected as your wife. And I'm happy to give my day to your wife, Aisha, my co-wife, because I know you are very fond of her. Please accept that, but keep me in your marriage. وَإِنْ إِمْرَأَةٌ خَافَتْ مِنْ بَعْلِهَا. And if a woman fears ill-treatment or aversion from her husband. This was obviously not for Nabi alayhi salam. There's no ill treatment or abuse. Hasha wa killa. I'm quoting an ayah, independent. Wa in imra'atun khafat min ba'liha nushuza. And if a woman fears ill treatment or aversion, fala junaha alayhima an yusliha baynahuma sulha. Then tell them to sit down. Tafsir al-Madhari, they must first baynahuma. Resolve it yourself. Please resolve it. Somebody said in English, if you're not happy with something, attend to it and resolve it. Otherwise, you will have to spend a great chunk of your life with something you don't like. You're going to be miserable. You're going to be depressed. Fix that relation. Work on it. You need to come home daily. This is where you need to take amnesty. But the Quran says so beautifully. Look at the philosophy and the wisdom. وَأُحْضِرَتِ الْأَنفُسُ الشُّحْ. Intrinsically, inherently, inborn to our nature is what? We are selfish and we are greedy humans. So Allah says, when you're going to make a peace, both are going to be selfish. You need to create some concession, some perk to stimulate that partner. I'm going to give this concession to you. I'm going to give that concession. Listen, okay, I did this wrong. I'm apologizing. I will give this compensation to you, this financial. We are having an issue with our parents. I'm having an issue with your parents. You have, for a moment, let's do this. I'm not going to put pressure on you to visit my parents. You don't put pressure on me to visit your parents. Let's make this compromise. Come weekend, you free to go. Come weekend, I'm free to go. I'm not saying keep this indefinite. Let's give a breather. Let's give some space. The Quran says make peace. And the Quran uses fala junaha. There's no harm. Scholars say, why did Allah adopt this phrase, no harm? Because the apparent engagement is almost like a bribery. I give you this, you give me that. You can read Ma'riful Quran and you'll see what I'm saying. It's like a bribery. And Allah says this is a wholesome form of apparent bribery, because end of the day, the couple is together. The couple is together. Now, the greatest ingredient, and I'm going to touch on two, three things and quickly run through. What is it? It's tolerance and forbearance. If that's in order, the marriage is in order. So the verse was revealed, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّ مِنْ أَزْوَاجِكُمْ وَأَوْلَادِكُمْ عَدُوًا لَكُمْ فَاحْذَرُوهُمْ. The Sahaba migrate from Makkah to Medina. Some woman kept their husband's back, you can't migrate. Awf bin Malik, every time he wants to join a campaign, no, you can't go, stay behind. So their woman and children kept them back. Allah said, listen, some of your spouses are not playing the role. Some of your children are becoming impediments. They are not your children and your wives, they are your enemies. And Allah categorically, explicitly said. So when Allah revealed the verse, the Sahaba decided to now be a bit, you know, stringent and harsh towards them, that Allah said, you are our enemies. So Allah then revealed the next verse. Yes, what they did is wrong, but there's no place where I love you to forgive as much as I love you to forgive in your home. Why? Because in the whole Quran, Allah hasn't brought the three words of forgiveness together in one verse like Allah has done it in this ayah. Sometimes Allah says, fa'fu wasfahu. Sometimes Allah says, walaman sabara wa ghafara. But here Allah says, wa in ta'fu wa tasfahu wa taghfiru. Oh my words. Wa in ta'fu wa tasfahu wa taghfiru. Listen, it's your child. You're going to have to forgive. Ruhul Ma'ani, Allama Alusi writes in his tafsir, and I read this myself, that we have to deal very delicately with the mistakes and the violation of our spouse and children. We need to despise the wrong, but we can't despise the individual, because Allah calls us to forgive. We need tolerance. Really, I cannot tell you how often in an argument it can be ugly, it can be bitter, it's looking deep, it's looking bleak. And just give it few hours and the time, the dust settles, and then you start seeing the chemistry gelling and clicking again. So when ifq was revealed, the verses exonerating Aisha radiallahu anha, and the verses came down, the Nabi of Allah looked at Aisha and said, Abshiri ya Aisha, amma Allahu faqad barra'aki. Aisha, good news, Allah proved your innocence. Aisha radiallahu anha's parents stood up and said, Aisha, stand up and hug Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wallahi la aqumu ilayhi, wa la ahmaduhu. Why must I thank him? Allah revealed the Quran. I'll thank Allah. But nothing to do with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, in how often we in the latter part of resolving it and it gets ugly again in the end. Just at that point here something gets ugly. But the Nabi of Allah realized this was petty. One narration goes on, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I placed my hand into the hand of Aisha. Fantaza'at yada. She pulled her hand away. I'm sure if you married you know that. You know, you're trying to patch up. Leave me. Okay, no problem. I'm not allowed to give secrets, but I mean, I don't think this is a secret. It happens everywhere. Aisha radiallahu anha said, I pulled my... Now the Nabi of Allah, Aisha, do you know this is the hand that split the moon? Aisha, do you know the virtue of this hand? No. This is a woman having her emotion. And the Nabi of Allah gave her space and time. Tolerance. The last narration when we conclude here. So the Nabi of Allah, Ibn al-Jawzi has made mention of it in I'lamun Nisa. The Nabi of Allah is going in a campaign and all his spouses are with him. Look at his balanced eye, his maturity, his composure. They move in. But we're having a bit of a snag here. Aisha radiallahu anha is light in physique. She's petite. Her camel is swift. Safiya radiallahu anha is a bit heavy in weight. And her camel is sluggish. Now because of that, Safiya is moving slow. The Nabi of Allah is moving slow. The crowd is moving slow. So everybody's going slow. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rotated his gaze, he worked out the whole thing, and he said, "Hawwilu mata'a Safiya ala jamali Aisha, wa mata'a Aisha ala jamali Safiya." We're just going to stop here, just do a quick stop here. Aisha, we need your luggage on Safiya's camel, you light, her camel is sluggish, so it will move faster. Safiya radiallahu anha has got a bit additional luggage. Now not like, oh, Safiya, you got so much luggage, where are you going? Like, you know, things like that. Where are you going? you know, you're so nasty. You, how could you tell me a thing like that? And sometimes we don't realize what we say with our words. We offend, we insult, we make derogatory, inflammatory comments. And the tongue, it can be sharp. Jirmuhu sagir, jirmuhu kabir. It's small, but its crime can be offensive. We don't hurt anyone. We got to watch how we talk, and we don't say nothing. And often, I say to couples, when you're having an argument, don't vomit too much, especially when you have to wear the same clothes. You throw out things, ugly, unpleasant, bad, and then you have to get together again. It's a lump. It's difficult to swallow. So behave yourself, manage yourself, control your emotions, don't have an outburst, regulate your tantrum. It's got to be within limit, you're answerable. They say regardless of what people tell us, we are responsible for the manner in which we react. We can be better or better. Regardless of what he said, but you, what he said is what he said, what she said, but how you reacted, now you overdo it. And this is a separate thing in the Quran. If you said something, if somebody told you something, you're a victim. You're a victim. But when you retort, if you said worse, now you're the oppressor. You're no longer the victim. We run for that victim mentality forever. You receive. But then if you went over the mark, then you're no longer the victim. So anyway, when this change of luggage happened, then Aisha radiallahu anha said, غَلَبَتْنَا هَذِهِ الْيَهُودِيَّةِ. This woman of Yahudi descent, she gets her way again. Uh-oh. And now we out in Hajj. The people here, we're at the airport. You know, now we want to act. I mean, if it's me, I want to act. It's a behave. So don't throw a tantrum. People are watching. This is the Nabi of Allah. It's Hajjatul Wada. The whole ummah is there. Khudu anni manasikakum. Khudu anni manasikakum. Learn from me. We're not going to meet again here in Mina again. Everything of his is exemplary. His wife is having an outburst. This woman gets her way again. Nabi Sassam is calm. He's composed. Alasta tazumu annaka Rasul Allah. But you claim you're a prophet? Wow. Aisha radiallahu anha is having an emotional outburst. Respect to my mother. Her virtues, you cannot comprehend. I just gave you a taste of those couplets. Otherwise, it's mind-boggling. She's having an emotional outburst. But you claim to say you're a prophet? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiles and says, "Awa fi shakkin anti." Aisha, everybody else has accepted. You got any doubts still? Aisha, you doubt him? Huh? You know, so if you are told, oh, you're a doctor, or you think you're an international speaker. Those are miles, man. You're a prophet. You're a prophet. Nabi Sassan said, are you in doubt? Aisha, just look at, what did I say? What made it amazing? It was hiccup free. It was glitch free. It was how he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, managed it. How he conducted himself. Awa fi shakkin anti? Are you in doubt? No. Halla adalt. Halla adalt. Then where's justice in your life? My camel, and I must just give it to someone else. Now it was her belonging, and the Nabi of Allah took it easy, but it was sensitive. Abu Bakr interjects. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi says, Abu Bakr, stand clear. Oh, Nabi of Allah, respectfully, but I think my daughter overstepped the mark. Abu Bakr, but I've told you this before, when a woman is having an emotional outburst, she's not cognizant of the directions around her, never mind what she's saying. She doesn't know front from back, right from left. Now that's the time you got to manage yourself and behave yourself. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to instill and infuse and imbibe within us the great, the pure legacy of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I make dua earnestly and honestly, any couple that is taking strain, I hope and I pray the advices that were rendered by the esteemed scholars, and whatever I said in my humble capacity, we will take it home and we will reflect it deeply. And this would be a means of patching and reconciling for many relations, because that is what Allah loves. Allah grant us all the understanding. And once again, I'm grateful to the Honorable MC and to the Masjid and to everybody else for affording me this opportunity. There are so many great scholars and ulama, and the brothers and the sisters and those that have organized, you've come out in your numbers, in your scores, in your multitudes. Surely whatever we've come here is the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we need to leave from here with a greater impact so that we can have positive effects on others as well, inshallah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Was salatu was salamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Sayyidina wa maulana Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in.
ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم اجعل اجتماعنا هذا اجتماعا مرحوما، وتفرقنا من بعده تفرقا معصوما، ولا تجعل فينا ولا منا ولا معنا شقيا ولا محروما. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم أصلح لنا ديننا الذي هو عصمة أمرنا، وأصلح لنا دنيانا التي فيها معاشنا، وأصلح لنا آخرتنا التي إليها معادنا، واجعل الحياة زيادة لنا في كل خير، واجعل الموت راحة لنا من كل شر. اللهم ما قصر عنه رأينا ولم تبلغه مسألة من خيري الدنيا والآخرة، فاجعل لنا منه أوفر الحظ والنصيب. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين.
We say Jazakumullah to Hazrat Maulana Suleiman Mulla Sahab, all our esteemed ulama who rendered advices this evening, Maulana Musa Akhuri Sahab, Maulana Ibrahim Baum Sahab, our Qurra Qari Yub Sahab, Qari Hussein Qazi, and Hafiz Yusuf Rawat, Hafiz Yusuf Osman, all the volunteers who have been making effort the entire day, all those who have contributed, all those who have come here today, all the technical staff, may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala reward you. We conclude by asking you to make dua that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala accept this humble effort, and that Allah bless us and enable us with the ability to practice and implement what we have heard here this evening. The Isha Adhan will go now inshallah, and at 25:02 we will have the Isha Jamaat. We remind you once again that the meals will be served thereafter in the halls inshallah. Shukran.